to your conscious intentions. Now you are developing a two-way communication with this invisible consciousness. It shows you that it noticed you emulating it as a creator. It speaks to you directly. It demonstrates that it is responding to you. How does it do all this? It creates and organizes unusual events in your life. These signify direct messages from the quantum mind. Now you have a relationship with a supreme, loving consciousness. It's time to reinvent a new you by moving into a new state of being that reflects your new expression of self. After you do so, by priming a new mind and body, then you rehearse that state of being again. Your efforts to recreate the same familiar state will biologically change your brain and body ahead of the new experience. Then once you are a new being in your meditation, a new being is a new personality, and a new personality creates a new personal reality. Here is where you, from an elevated energy, create the specific events in your life as the quantum observer of destiny. Although this guided mental rehearsal meditation has three parts, when it is incorporated into your week 4 meditation, as the guided meditation in Appendix C, the parts blend seamlessly together. Guided Mental Rehearsal Meditation, Creating the New You. Now close your eyes. Eliminate the environment and let yourself go by creating how you want to live your life. Your job is to move into a new state of being. It's time to change your mind and think in new ways. When you do, you will emotionally recondition your body to a new mind by signaling new genes in new ways. Let the thought become the experience, and live that future reality now. Open your heart and give thanks ahead of the actual experience, so much so that you convince your body to believe that future event is unfolding now. Pick a potential in the quantum field and live it completely. It is time to change your energy from living in the emotions of the past to living in the emotions of a new future. You cannot get up as the same person you were when you sat down. Remind yourself who you will be when you open your eyes. Plan your actions with regard to how you will be in your new reality. Imagine the new you and how you will speak and what you will say to yourself. Think about what it will feel like to be this ideal. Conceive of yourself as a new person, doing certain things, thinking certain ways, and feeling the emotions of joy, inspiration, love, empowerment, gratitude, and power. Become so attentive to your intention that your thoughts of a new ideal become the experience internally. And as you feel the emotion from that experience, you go from thinking to being. Remember who and what you really are in your new future. Now relax for a few seconds. Then review, recreate, and rehearse what you just did. Do it over again. Let go and see if you can do it repeatedly and consistently. Can you initiate being that new ideal with greater ease than the last time? Can you bring it out of nothing one more time? You should naturally be able to recall who you are becoming so that you know how to call it up at will. Your repeated efforts will mean doing it so many times that you'll just know how to. When you move into this new state of being, memorize the feeling. This is a great place to be. Now it's time to command matter. From this elevated state of mind and body, what do you want in your future life? As you unfold the new self, remember to move into that state of mind and body that feels invincible, powerful, absolute, inspired, and overjoyed. Let the pictures come. See them with certainty, with a knowingness that unifies you to those events or things. Bond with your future as if it is yours, without any concern other than expectancy and celebration. Let yourself go and begin to free associate without concern. Become empowered by your new sense of self. With clarity, hold the image of each manifestation in your mind for a few seconds, and then let it go into the quantum to be executed by a greater mind. Then go to the next one. Keep going. This is your new destiny. Allow yourself to experience that future reality in the present moment, until you convince your body to emotionally believe that the event is coming to pass now. Open your heart and experience the joy of your new life before it actually manifests. Know that where you place your attention is where you place your energy. The energy that you released from the body earlier has become the raw materials for you to use to create a new future. In a state of divinity, true greatness, and gratitude, create by blessing your life with your own energy, and be the quantum observer of your future. Become entangled to your new reality. As you see the images of what you want to experience in the energy of this new personality, know that those pictures will become the blueprints of your destiny. You are commanding matter to conform to your intentions. When you finish, simply let go and know that your future will unfold in a way that is perfect for you. Week 4, Guide to Meditation. Now that you have read the text and journaled for Step 7, you are ready to practice your Week 4 meditations. Every day, listen to, or do from memory, the full Week 4 meditation. A helpful hint. During the guided meditation, you may find yourself feeling so good that you naturally make statements like these to yourself or out loud. I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am a genius. Because you feel like that in a very real way. That's great. It means mind and body are aligned. It's important for you not to analyze what you are dreaming. If you do, you will leave the fertile ground of the alpha wave patterns and return back to beta wave patterns and separate yourself from your subconscious mind. Just create a new you without any judgment. Guide to continuing your meditation. You've just devoted the past several weeks to learning a meditation practice that can become a lifelong means to help you evolve and create the life you choose. You also use that new skill to start pruning away a particular aspect of the old you, and to begin creating a new self and a new destiny. At this point, many people ask questions such as these. How can I continue to get better at the steps and skills of meditating? Once I have mastered this process, should I keep doing it the same way indefinitely? How long should I keep working on the same aspect of self that I've focused on up till now? How will I know when I'm ready to peel away another layer of the onion? As I keep using this process, how can I decide which part of my old self to change next? Can I use this process to work on more than one aspect of my personality at a time? If you continue to do all of the steps every day, what used to feel like 7 steps will begin to feel simpler, with more of a flow from step to step. Like anything you have mastered in your life, you will only get better if you continue to meditate daily. As for the guided meditation and induction techniques, you might think of them like training wheels on a bicycle. If using them helped you while you were learning this process, continue to listen to them for as long as they assist you to move ahead. But once you're so familiar with the process that you've made it your own, and you feel that listening to guided instructions is holding you back, then let them go. Making periodic adjustments to your meditations is natural and to be expected, because you aren't the same person you were when you began. If you keep up the daily sessions, your state of being will continue to evolve, and thus you will continue to recognize aspects of your old self that you want to change. Only you can determine when and how quickly you are ready to move ahead. And as I'll talk about in the next chapter, your progress will depend not just on your meditations, but on making change an integral part of your daily life. But in general, working on one particular aspect of yourself in your sessions for 4 to 6 weeks will likely bring enough results that you feel an inner prompting to begin removing another layer of self. So approximately every month, do some self-reflection. Look to your life for feedback on what you're creating and how you're doing. You might revisit the questions in Part 3 and notice any that you would now answer differently. Reevaluate how you're feeling, who you've been being in your life, and whether you still have the attitude you were working on. If that attitude feels like it has diminished, have you noticed other unwanted emotions, states of mind, or habits that feel more prominent now? If so, one approach might be to focus on that aspect of your personality and redo the entire process you just completed. Alternatively, you may want to keep working on one area while adding another. Once you've mastered the basic template for how to meditate, you can combine the emotions you're working on in a more unified way, addressing several aspects of yourself at the same time. After a lot of practice, I now work on my whole self at once, taking what I think of as a holistic, non-linear approach. Of course, elements of the new destiny you want to create will surely change as well. When that new relationship or career change comes into your life, you won't want to stop there. And every so often, you may also opt to vary your meditation just to shake things up a bit. Trust your instincts. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website at www.drjoedispenza.com. Whenever you feel the need for new inspiration, here you will find an array of practical tools and techniques to reprogram your thoughts and remove self-destructive habits to empower you to change from the inside out. Your next steps might be to read my first book and the companion to this one, Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, to deepen the knowledge that, as you now know, is the precursor to experience. This book will walk you through the structure of your brain, teach you how your thoughts and emotions become hardwired, and give you the understanding to not only change your life, but to change you into the person you've always wanted to be. Attend one, two, or all three of the workshops I personally conduct around the world on breaking the habit of being yourself. Participate in a series of live teleclasses, including Q&A sessions. Broaden the foundation of your knowledge through the DVDs and audio CDs described on my website. Chapter 14. Demonstrating and being transparent. Living your new reality. When you demonstrate change, you've memorized an internal order that is greater than any environmental cue. It's keeping your energy up, staying conscious in a new reality, independent of your body, independent of the environment, and independent of time. How are you going to be when you walk into your life? Remind yourself with your family, at your job, with your children, at lunch tomorrow. Can you maintain this modified state of being? If you can live your life in the same energy that you created with, then something different should show up in your world. That's the law. When your behaviors match your intentions, when your actions are equal to your thoughts, when you're being someone else, then you're ahead of your time. Your environment is no longer controlling how you think and feel. How you think and feel is controlling your environment. That's greatness, and it's always been within you. When how you appear is who you are free from the enslavement of your past. And when all of that energy now is liberated, the side effect of that freedom is called joy. When your internal neurochemical state is so orderly and coherent that no stimulus in your incoherent external world can disrupt who you are being, then your mind and body are now working in harmony. You are now a new being. And by memorizing that state of being, a new personality, your world and your personal reality will begin to reflect your internal changes. When your outward expression of self is equal to your inner self, you are headed to a new destiny. Can you maintain the change in your life so that your body does not return to the same mind? Since emotions are stored in the subconscious memory system, it is your job to consciously keep your body aligned to your new mind so that nothing in your environment emotionally hooks you back to the old reality. You must memorize your new self and insist on being it, so that nothing in your present reality can move you from it. Remember that when you get up from your meditation, if you did it properly, you will advance from thinking to being. Once you're in that state of being, you are more prone to do and think equal to who you are being. In a nutshell, demonstration is living as if your prayers have already been answered. It is rejoicing in your new life with a new level of expectation and excitement. It is reminding yourself that you must be in that same state of mind and body that you were in when you created your new ideal. You cannot create a new personality in your meditation and then live as the old self for the rest of the day. It would be like eating a really healthy meal in the morning and then spending the rest of the day snacking on junk food. In order for a new experience in reality to happen to you, you have to match your behavior with your goal. You align your thoughts and your deeds. You must make choices that are consistent with your new state of being. When you demonstrate, you physically apply what you have mentally rehearsed, getting the body involved and making it do what the mind has learned. Therefore, in order for you to see the signals unfolding in your life, you must live and be in the same energy that you created from. Simply put, if you want the universe to begin to talk back to you in new and unusual ways, the energy and the mind that you demonstrate in your life must be the same as the energy and mind of your meditation as that new ideal. This is when you are connected with or entangled to the energy you created in a dimension beyond space and time. And this is how you attract the new event into your life. When both aspects of the self are aligned, the you living in the now life is the same being you constructed during your meditation. You are being the future you that existed as a potential in the quantum field. And when the new self that you created in your meditation is the exact same electromagnetic signature as the future you that you are being in your life, you are unified to that new destiny. When you are physically being one with the future you in the now moment that you dreamed about, you will experience the bounty of a new reality. There will be a response from a greater order. The feedback you experience in your life is the result of matching the state of being energy of your creative process to the state of being energy of your demonstrative process. It is being that being you invented in this particular plane of demonstration. You have to live in that line of time in present physical reality. Thus, if you maintain that modified state of mind and body the entire day, something different should show up in your life. And what type of feedback should you begin to witness? Look forward to synchronicities, opportunities, coincidences, flow, effortless change, better health, insights, revelations, mystical experiences, and new relationships, to name a few. New feedback then will inspire you to keep doing what you have been doing. When external feedback occurs as a result of your internal efforts, you will naturally correlate whatever you are doing inside of you with whatever happened outside of you. This is a novel moment in and of itself. It basically shows you evidence that you are now living by the quantum law. You become astonished that the feedback that you are experiencing is the direct result of the internal workings of your mind and emotions. When you correlate what you did in the implicit world with the explicit manifestation, you will pay attention and remember whatever you did earlier to produce that effect, and you will do it again. And when you can connect your inner world with the effects of the outer world, you are now causing an effect instead of living by cause and effect. You are creating reality. Here is the test. Can you be the same person in your external environment that you were being in your internal one while you were meditating? Can you be greater than your present environment, which is connected to your past personality, memories, and associations? Are you able to cease your routine reactions to the same situations? Have you conditioned your body and molded your mind to be ahead of the present reality in front of you? This is the reason why we meditate, to become someone else in our lives. Remind yourself during the day that you will keep your energy up as the new you. Here you are to prompt yourself to stay conscious at different times in your waking hours. You can prime yourself to place little notes in consciousness on the canvas of your life. For example, I want to give thanks for different aspects of my life while I take my morning shower. I have to stay on track while I drive to work, so I'm going to be joyous during the whole trip. How will I be as this new ideal when I see my boss? Let me remind myself to take a moment at lunch and remember who I want to be. When I see my kids this evening, I will be elevated and have abundant energy and will truly connect. I want to take a minute while I get ready for bed and remind myself who I am being. End of the day questions. These questions are a simple way to review your display of the new self when the day is over. How did I do today? When did I fall from grace and why? Who was it I reacted to and where? When did I go unconscious? How can I do better the next time that happens? Before you go to bed, it might be a nice idea to contemplate where it was during your day that you lost your new ideal. Once you can see the obvious place in your life that stimulated you to fall into oblivion, ask yourself these simple questions. If this situation happened again, how would I do it differently? And what piece of knowledge or philosophical understanding could I apply to this circumstance if it arose again? Once you can come up with a solid answer and attend to it with a bit of thoughtfulness, you will be mentally rehearsing a new element that rounds out another part of you. You will be putting the new neural network into your brain to prepare you for the event at some future time. This little move will assist you in upgrading and refining the model of the new and improved you. You can then add that into your morning or evening meditation. When you are transparent, how you appear is who you are, and your internal thoughts and feelings are reflected in your external environment. Having achieved this state, your life and your mind are synonymous. It is your final relationship between you and all of your outward creations. This means that your life reflects your mind in all arenas. You are your life, and your life is a reflection of you. If, as quantum physics suggests, the environment is an extension of the mind, this is when your life reorganizes itself to reflect your new mind. Transparency is a state of true empowerment in which you have realized, made real, your dream of personal transformation. You have gained wisdom from experience and are greater than the environment in your past reality. The telltale sign of becoming transparent is that you do not have many overly analytical or critical thoughts. You wouldn't want to think that way. It would take you away from your present state. Since the side effect of transparency is true joy, more energy, and freedom of expression, any thought that is connected to an ego drive would lower the elevated feeling within you. When your life begins to unfold with new and wonderful events, there will come a moment that you will be in awe, wonder, and utter wakefulness when you realize it was your mind that created them. In your rapture, you will look back from this vantage point at your entire life, and you will not want to change anything. You will not regret any action or feel bad about whatever has happened to you, because in that moment of your manifestation, it will all make sense to you. You will see how your past got you to this great state. As a result of your efforts, the consciousness of the greater mind has begun to be your conscious mind. Its nature is becoming your nature. You naturally become more divine. This is who you really are. This is your natural state of being. Equally, as the invisible giver of life begins to move through you, you will feel more like yourself than you have in a long time. Those traumas that produced emotional scars knocked your true personality from its center. You became more complicated, more polarized, more divided, more inconsistent, and more predictable. When you unmemorize those survival emotions that naturally lower the frequency of the mind and the body, you are lifted to a higher electromagnetic expression, and a greater frequency is now turning you on. And you free yourself by unlocking the doors to make room for a greater power to become you. Finally, it is you and you are it. You are one, and you feel a coherent energy called love. It is the within that then manifests an unconditional state. Once you connect to and drink from the well of consciousness, you might experience a real paradox. It is quite possible that there will come such a sense of personal wholeness that you will find it difficult to want anything. This dichotomy was a veritable realization for me. Wants and desires come from lacking something, someone, some place or some time. In being truly connected to this consciousness, I have had moments that it was hard to think about anything else, because I felt so great. I felt so complete that my thought that would take me away from it would not be worth my moving from this place. So the irony is that once you arrive at this space to create from, you no longer need anything, because the lack and emptiness from which you desired those things has been eliminated, replaced by a feeling of wholeness. As a result, you just want to linger in the feeling of balance, love, and coherence. This, I feel, is the beginning of true unconditional love. Feeling a sense of love and awe for life without needing anything from outside of us is freedom. It is no longer being attached to external elements. It is a feeling that is so coherent that to judge another or to emotionally react to life and change from this state is compromising self. This is when the greater consciousness that we are all connected to begins to move out of us, and we begin to express this through us. We move from human toward divine. We become more like it. We become more loving, more mindful, more powerful, more generous, more intentional, more kind, and healthier. That's its mind. Something else amazing begins to occur as well. When you feel elevated and joyful, you will feel so wonderful that you will want to share the feeling of what you're experiencing with someone. And how do you share such great feelings? You give. You think, I feel so superb and uplifted that I want you to feel the way I feel. So here is a gift. And you will begin to give so that others can feel the gift that you are expressing from within. You are selfless. Imagine a world like that. If, however, you can fashion a new reality from this internal order of wholeness, you must know that you'll be creating from a state of being in consciousness that is no longer separate from whatever it is that you desire. You are in absolute oneness with your creation. And if you can slip into it naturally and forget about everything that is tied to the old you, you will feel such a sense of exuberance that you will begin to know that the creation you are focusing on is yours. It will feel like hitting a tennis ball in the sweet spot or parallel parking without mirrors within inches of the curb. It feels right. You somehow know. This is how I end my daily meditation, and I offer it to you as a suggestion. Now close your eyes. Become aware that there is an intelligence that is within you and all around you. Remember that it is real. Contemplate that this consciousness is noticing you and is aware of your intentions. Recall that it is a creator that exists beyond space and time. In your journey past the cravings of the body and the nuances of the ego mind, you have made it to this final step. So if, in fact, this consciousness is real and it exists, ask for a sign to let you know that you made contact with it. Say to the Creator, if I emulated you in any way as a creator today, send me a signal in the form of feedback in my world to let me know that you are noticing my efforts. And bring it in a way that I least expect, that wakes me up from this dream and leaves no doubt that it has come from you, so that I am inspired to do this again tomorrow. Let me remind you of what I stated in the chapter on the quantum. If the feedback comes to you in a way that you could have expected or predicted, then it is nothing new. Resist the temptation to ascribe novelty and unpredictability to what you know deep in your soul to be the familiar. In your new life, you must be startled and, in a sense, taken unaware, not by what came to you, but by how it came about. When you experience surprise, you wake up from the dream, and the novelty of whatever is happening to you is now so thrilling that it captures all of your attention. You are lifted out of your normal feelings. To leave no doubt means it has to be so cool and fun that you know that what you are doing is actually working. You want to know that this unusual event is coming from this greater mind, and that it can't be anything else. You now have a relationship with a higher consciousness because it's talking back to you, and only you know that what you are doing within is affecting the without. Once you know this, you should be inspired to do it again the next day. In essence, you can now use the emotion of the new experience as new energy with which to create your next outcome. You become like a scientist or an explorer, experimenting with your life and measuring the results of your efforts. Our purpose in life is not to be good, to please God, to be beautiful, to be popular, or to be successful. Our purpose, rather, is to remove the masks and the facades that block the flow of this intelligence and express this greater mind through us. To become empowered by our efforts of creativity and to ask greater questions that will inevitably lead us to a more enriched destiny. To expect the miraculous instead of the worst-case scenario, and to live as if this power is in favor of us. To ponder the uncommon, to contemplate our achievements in utilizing this unseen power, and to open our minds to more expanded possibilities challenges us to evolve our being, to let more of this mind come through us. For instance, by your truly healing yourself of some type of malady, then it should naturally lead to more evolved questions like, can I heal someone else with a touch? And if I accomplish that feat, is it possible to heal a loved one from a distance? And once you master that possibility, because you change the physical matter in that person, you might ask, can I create something out of nothing? How much further can we go? There is no end to this adventure. We are only limited by the questions we ask, the knowledge we embrace, and our ability to keep an open mind and heart. Afterward, inhabit self. One of the biggest lies we have come to believe about ourselves and our true nature is that we are nothing more than physical beings defined by a material reality, devoid of dimension and vital energy, and separate from God, which I trust you know by now is within us and all around us. To keep the truth about our real identity from us is not only enslaving, but it asserts that we are finite beings living a linear life that lacks real meaning. The dictum that there are no realms and no life beyond our physical world, and that we have no control over our destiny, is not a truth that you and I should ever believe in. It is my desire that you have become empowered by a bit of knowledge in this work to help you see who you really are. You are a multidimensional being who creates your reality. Helping you accept this idea as your law and new belief has been my labor in this book. Breaking the habit of being yourself means that you are going to have to lose your mind and create a new one. But when we fully lay down the old, familiar life or mind and start creating the new, there is a moment between the two worlds that is bereft of anything we know, and most rush back from this void to the familiar. That place of uncertainty, the unknown, is what the maverick, the mystic, and the saint know to be fertile ground. To live in the realm of the unpredictable is to be all potentials at once. Can you become comfortable in this empty space? If you can, you are at the nexus of a great creative power, the I Am. To biologically, energetically, physically, emotionally, chemically, neurobiologically, and genetically change ourselves, and to stop living by the unconscious affirmation that competition, strife, success, fame, physical beauty, sexuality, possessions, and power are the be-all and end-all in life, is when we break from the chains of the mundane. I fear that this so-called recipe for ultimate success in life has kept us looking outside of ourselves for answers and true happiness. when the real answers and true joy have always been within. So where and how do we find our true self? Do we create a persona that is shaped by associations with the outer environment, which perpetrates the lie? Or do we identify with something within us that is as real as everything outside of us, and create a unique identity which has awareness and a mind that we can emulate? That's right. It is that infinite resource of information and intelligence, personal and universal, that is intrinsic to all human beings. It is an energetic consciousness that is filled with such coherence that when it moves through us, we can only call it love. When the door opens, its frequency carries such vital information that it changes who we are from within. This is an experience that I have humbly learned to live for. It is my hope that you know that you have always had access to it if you choose. But if you live life as a materialist, then you will struggle with its existence. Why? Well, realists will use their senses to define reality. And if they can't see it, taste it, smell it, touch it, or hear it, then it doesn't exist, right? This duality is a perfect scheme for keeping people lost in the illusion. Just keep their attention on an outer reality that is ultimately so sensually pleasurable or chaotic, and going within will seem too difficult. Your attention is where your energy is. Put all of your attention on the external, material world, and that becomes your investment in reality. On the contrary, command your mindfulness to unfold a deeper aspect of yourself, and your energy will expand that reality. You, as a human being, have the freedom to place your awareness on anything. To develop your ability to manage and properly use this abundance of power is the gift. Wherever you put your thoughts and your awareness becomes your reality. If you stop believing that thought is real, you will fall back into materialism and stop doing the work. You'll simply choose some emotional addiction or habit for immediate gratification, and then talk yourself out of possibility. Herein lies the dilemma. The future reality we create in our minds does not yet have any sensory feedback, and by the quantum model, our senses should be the last to experience what we create. For this reason, many of us make materialism our law once again, and we go unconscious. I want to remind you that all things material come from the invisible field of the immaterial, beyond space and time. Simply said, by planting seeds in this world, you see that in time they bear fruit. If you can experience a dream so completely in mind and emotion within the inner world of potentials, then it has already happened. So just surrender. It has to sprout into your outer life. It is the law. But here is the hardest part of the whole process. Making or taking the time for your precious self to actually do it. That's it. We are divine creators. It is what we do when we are inspired and pressed to know more. But you and I are also creatures of habit. We develop habits for everything. We possess three brains that allow us to evolve from knowledge to experience to wisdom. To make whatever we learn implicit through the repetition of experience, we can teach the body to become the mind. That is our definition of a habit. The problem is that we have developed habits that limit our true greatness. The survival emotions, which are so addictive, cause us to live with limitation, feeling separate from the source, and forget that we are creators. In fact, the corresponding states of mind that correlate with stress truly are the reasons why we are controlled by our emotions, live by a lower denomination of energy, and are enslaved by a set of beliefs rooted in fear. These so-called normal psychological states have been accepted by most as ordinary and common. They are the real altered states of consciousness. Hence, I want to emphasize that anxiety, depression, frustration, anger, guilt, pain, worry, and sadness, the emotions regularly expressed by billions of people, are why the masses live life knocked out of balance and altered from the true self. And maybe the supposed altered states of consciousness achieved in meditation during true mystical moments are actually natural human states of consciousness that we should strive to live by on a regular basis. I accept that contention as my truth. It's time to wake up and to be the living example of the truth. It's not enough to espouse these understandings. It's time to live them, demonstrate them, and be at cause in all areas of our lives. When you and I embody such ideals as truth and make them a habit, then they innately become part of us. Since we are wired to create habits, why not make true greatness, compassion, genius, ingenuity, empowerment, love, awareness, generosity, healing, quantum manifestation, and divinity our new habits? To remove the layers of personal emotions we decided to memorize as our identity, to shed our selfish limitations that we have given such power to abandon false beliefs and perceptions about the nature of reality and self, to overcome our neural habituations of destructive traits that repeatedly undermine our evolution, and to relinquish the attitudes that have kept us from knowing who we really are all part of finding the true self. There is an aspect of the self that is a benevolent being who waits beyond all of those veils. This is who we are when we are not feeling threatened, fearing loss, trying to please everyone, racing to succeed, and scrambling to get to the top at any cost, regretting the past, or feeling inferior, hopeless, desperate, or greedy, just to name a few. When we overcome and remove whatever stands in the way of our infinite power and self, we are demonstrating a noble deed, not only for ourselves, but for all of humanity. So the greatest habit you will ever break is the habit of being yourself. And the greatest habit you will ever create is the habit of expressing the divine through you. That is when you inhabit your true nature and identity. It is to inhabit self.
For more information on other CDs, plus DVDs, books, and workshops that Dr. Joe Dispenza now offers in the U.S. and around the world, please visit his website at www.drjoedispenza.com. You can also stay up to date with Dr. Joe Dispenza via Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We hope you have enjoyed this recording.
Breaking the habit of being yourself. How to lose your mind and create a new one. By Dr. Joe Dispenza. New York Times best-selling author of You Are the Placebo. Dedicated to Robi. Read by Adam Boyce. Copyright 2012 by Joe Dispenza.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
The New York Times best-selling book, You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter, by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Read by Adam Boyce. Copyright 2014 by Dr. Joe Dispenza. For my mother, Francesca. Preface. Waking up. I never planned on doing any of this. The work I'm currently involved in as a speaker, author, and researcher sort of found me. In order for some of us to wake up, we sometimes need a wake-up call. In 1986, I got the call. On a beautiful Southern California day in April, I had the privilege of being run over by an SUV in a Palm Springs triathlon. That moment changed my life and started me on this whole journey. I was 23 at the time, with a relatively new chiropractic practice in La Jolla, California, and I'd trained hard for this triathlon for months. I had finished the swimming segment and was in the biking portion of the race when it happened. I was coming up to a tricky turn where I knew we'd be merging with traffic. A police officer with his back to the oncoming cars waved me on to turn right and follow the course. Since I was fully exerting myself and focused on the race, I never took my eyes off of him. As I passed two cyclists on that particular corner, a red four-wheel drive Bronco going about 55 miles an hour slammed into my bike from behind. The next thing I knew, I was catapulted up into the air, then I landed squarely on my backside. Because of the speed of the vehicle and the slow reflexes of the elderly woman driving the Bronco, the SUV kept coming toward me, and I was soon reunited with its bumper. I quickly grabbed the bumper in order to avoid being run over and to stop my body from passing between metal and asphalt. So I was dragged down the road a bit before the driver realized what was happening. When she finally did abruptly stop, I tumbled out of control for about 20 yards. I can still remember the sound of the bikes whizzing by and the horrified screams and profanities of the riders passing me, not knowing whether they should stop and help or continue the race. As I lay there, all I could do was surrender. I would soon discover that I had broken 6 vertebrae. I had compression fractures in thoracic 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and lumbar 1, ranging from my shoulder blades to my kidneys. The vertebrae are stacked like individual blocks in the spine, and when I hit the ground with that kind of force, they collapsed and compressed from the impact. The 8th thoracic vertebrae, the top segment that I broke, was more than 60% collapsed, and the circular arch that contained and protected the spinal cord was broken and pushed together in a pretzel-like shape. When a vertebrae compresses and fractures, the bone has to go somewhere. In my case, a large volume of shattered fragments went back toward my spinal cord. It was definitely not a good picture. As if I were in a bad dream gone rogue, I woke up the next morning with a host of neurological symptoms, including several different types of pain, varying degrees of numbness, tingling, and some loss of feeling in my legs, and some sobering difficulties in controlling my movements. So after I had all the blood tests, X-rays, CAT scans, and MRIs at the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon showed me the results and somberly delivered the news. In order to contain the bone fragments that were now on my spinal cord, I needed surgery to implant a Harrington rod. That would mean cutting out the back parts of the vertebrae from 2 to 3 segments, above and below the fractures, and then screwing and clamping 2 12-inch stainless steel rods along both sides of my spinal column. Then they'd scrape some fragments off my hip bone and paste them over the rods. It would be a major surgery, but it would mean I'd at least have a chance to walk again. Even so, I knew I'd probably still be somewhat disabled, and I'd have to live with chronic pain for the rest of my life. Needless to say, I didn't like that option. But if I chose not to have the surgery, paralysis seemed certain. The best neurologist in the Palm Springs area, who concurred with the first surgeon's opinion, told me that he knew of no other patient in the United States in my condition who had refused it. The impact of the accident had compressed my T8 vertebrae into a wedge shape that would prevent my spine from being able to bear the weight of my body if I were to stand up. My backbone would collapse, pushing those shattered bits of the vertebrae deep into my spinal cord, causing instant paralysis from my chest down. That was hardly an attractive option either. I was transferred to a hospital in La Jolla, closer to my home, where I received two additional opinions, including one from the leading orthopedic surgeon in Southern California. Both doctors agreed that I should have the Harrington rod surgery. It was a pretty consistent prognosis: have the surgery or be paralyzed, never to walk again. If I had been the medical professional making the recommendation, I'd have said the same thing. It was the safest option. But it wasn't the option I chose for myself. Maybe I was just young and bold at that time in my life, but I decided against the medical model and the expert recommendations. I believe that there's an intelligence, an invisible consciousness within each of us that's the giver of life. It supports, maintains, protects, and heals us every moment. It creates almost 100 trillion specialized cells, starting from only 2, and keeps our hearts beating hundreds of thousands of times per day, and it can organize hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions in a single cell in every second, among many other amazing functions. I reasoned at the time that if this intelligence was real, and if it willfully, mindfully, and lovingly demonstrated such amazing abilities, maybe I could take my attention off my external world and begin to go within and connect with it, developing a relationship with it. But while I intellectually understood that the body often has the capacity to heal itself, now I had to apply every bit of philosophy that I knew in order to take that knowledge to the next level and beyond, to create a true experience with healing. And since I wasn't going anywhere, and I wasn't doing anything except lying face down, I decided on 2 things. First, every day I would put all of my conscious attention on this intelligence within me and give it a plan, a template, a vision with very specific orders. And then I would surrender my healing to this greater mind that has unlimited power, allowing it to do the healing for me. And second, I wouldn't let any thought slip by my awareness that I didn't want to experience. Sounds easy, right? Against the advice of my medical team, I left the hospital in an ambulance that brought me to the home of 2 close friends, where I stayed for the next 3 months to focus on my healing. I was on a mission. I decided that I would begin every day reconstructing my spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, and I would show this consciousness, if it was paying attention to my efforts, what I wanted. I knew that it would demand my absolute presence. That is, for me, to be present in the moment, not thinking about or regretting my past, worrying about the future, obsessing about the conditions in my external life, or focusing on my pain or symptoms. Just as in any relationship we have with anybody, we all know when someone is present or not with us, right? Because consciousness is awareness, Awareness is paying attention, and paying attention is being present and noticing. This consciousness would be aware of when I was present and when I wasn't. I would have to be totally present when I interacted with this mind.